AMCA. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Excellent.
Looking forward to it. Melissa, have yourself a great day.
You too, James.
When you guys enjoy your day, we'll be back with more fun on the on Morning Magazine coming up here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The bad news keeps coming for Norfolk Southern Railroad. We've just learned a conductor died in an accident outside a large steel production facility in Ohio this morning. WOIO-TV's Vic Gideon is in Cleveland.
What we understand, there was a dump truck on one of the tracks. A train struck that dump truck. That did kill a Norfolk Southern employee.
Three Norfolk Southern train derailments have made headlines over the past month, including one that spilled toxic chemicals in East Palestine, Ohio. We're learning more about the four Americans kidnapped in northern Mexico Friday. Correspondent Omar Villafranca is in Brownsville, Texas.
Latavia Tamagi's aunt told CBS News she believes her niece was going to Mexico for cosmetic surgery, a common practice since procedures are less expensive south of the border.
This woman in Brownsville says Matamoros, site of the kidnappings, is notorious for crime.
I wouldn't want my children going over there to be on spring vacation because it's just, you just don't know what can happen.
President Biden has plans to keep Medicare up and running for another 25 years or so. In an op-ed in today's New York Times, he proposes increasing taxes on people who earn more than $400,000 a year and new rules to reduce prescription drug costs. Weight Watchers is moving into the white-hot market for diabetes drugs that can also help you slim down. Correspondent Matt Piper.
Sequence, which Weight Watchers is acquiring, is a subscription service that offers telehealth visits with doctors who can prescribe drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy, known to help people lose weight fast.
It solves an important pathway, but these are not quote-unquote magic pills.
Weight Watchers CEO Seema Sestani says there's more to this new partnership than a quick-fix pill.
This is about addressing a chronic condition in the same way that one might think about high cholesterol or hypertension.
A new study finds one quarter of parents have lied about their kids having COVID or being vaccinated so they wouldn't have to stay home from work to take care of them. Study author Andrew Germankin-Levy.
They wanted life to return to normal for their child and that they wanted to maintain their personal autonomy as parents.
Oklahomans are headed to the polls in a special election to decide on legalizing recreational pot for people 21 and over. KWTV's Natalie Cruz from Oklahoma City.
State question 820. Would not affect the existing medical marijuana program, but if passed, recreational marijuana would be legal effective June 5th. And cities can regulate time, place, and manner of marijuana businesses, but they cannot limit the number or ban them outright.
This is CBS News.
CBS News is brought to you by Paul Gauguin Cruises, artfully authentic, all-inclusive year-round cruising to Tahiti and the South Pacific. Visit pgcruises.com today.
Let's be real. Mopping is a hassle. You have to fill the bucket, pushing a wet, heavy mop around, then cleaning the mop when you're done so it doesn't grow bacteria. A hassle on top of a hassle. Try Swiffer WetJet. With Swiffer WetJet, you start with a fresh pad and cleaning solution every time. And when you're done, you just toss the pad. Swiffer WetJet. The faster, easier, cleaner way to clean your floors.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Pride.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear.
Oh!
bowl, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to drive traffic to your website.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 40. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows level off around 25. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 39. 3 to 5 inches of snow Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this March 7th, 2023, 10:06 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two at 10:30, we're going to welcome in Sarah Wheeler and our friends from the Southwood County YMCA. Looking forward to catching up with them. Right now, in studio, we have with us Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen, Ruby Marty. Good morning, Ruby.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Ruby, appreciate you joining us. This is the second time you've joined us. You've been with us before during the whole beginning of all this process. So let's start out right out the gate. How have you been enjoying it?
It has been a blast so far. I've gotten to meet so many new people in our community and even other title holders. They are all so friendly, and the friendships I have built have been amazing.
You know, I came into this job not knowing anything about the pageant world or anything like that. And the first thing I learned having the Miss Wisconsin Rapids pageant contestants in here is the camaraderie and the friendships you make, the bonds that you make. Is that your favorite part? Is that something that stood out the most to you?
Yes, that, and also meeting all the little girls. You know, they look up to you so much. I was one of them, and it's just so amazing to get to see them watch me and feel proud of my accomplishments.
Yeah. Had you thought a lot about that kind of thing as a kid? You know, the idea of, as you get older, being an example to younger people, is that something you ever really thought about until wearing the crown?
Honestly, I would say yes, because when I was younger, I always came to the Miss Wisconsin Rapids pageant. It was like a tradition. So when my mom told me that there was a teen portion, I jumped at the opportunity right away.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Ruby, let's talk about some of the things you've been up to. You have been you've attended a variety of community events. Let's touch on some of those.
Yeah, so I have gone and done two polar plunges.
Two of them?
Yeah, and
is that
I know,
is
crazy,
that a requirement
right?
of two of them? I thought one I could see, two of them, wow.
Well, so I actually did one as Miss Wisconsin Rapids Outstanding Teen, and then I did one with my FBLA chapter from my middle school. And in the first one I did as Miss Wisconsin Rapids Teen, my crown fell off in the water, so... They did get it back,
good,
but,
good,
you
good.
Know.
It Those things aren't cheap. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
You would think they'd sink pretty quick, too, so that's great they found it. That's
I
all.
Know.
That's
I
hilarious,
was a little worried. I also dropped a puck at the River Kings game before the game started, and that was a lot of fun. I got to see a bunch of new people there. I also did the Children's Miracle Network Radiothon, so I got to help raise money for them, and that was just a really great experience.
Oh.
And I did the YMCA or Boys and Girls Club father-daughter dance, and that was by far my favorite so far. You got to meet so many new people, so many little girls who look up to you.
Yeah. Wow. You have been busy. Those are all great events, too. I'd like to touch on some of those. And let's start with that the father-daughter dance. As somebody, I have two daughters of my own. And while they are in their 20s and don't want to, you know, necessarily dance with me anymore, it is something that I always thought was such a beautiful moment. I love that we still do these things. When getting to do something like that, you're kind of being really having an opportunity to see the kids one-on-one a little bit more, see making face-to-face, making personal impact and impressions on them. Was that something a part of what you enjoyed about the event as well?
Definitely. Hmm. And you know, seeing the fathers interact with their daughters, it is such a wholesome experience. And I actually have done one before when I was younger, and it was such an amazing experience.
Very cool to hear. The polar plunges certainly are very important because of the funds that they raise and the causes that they help, especially Special Olympics. Some of the greatest people you'll ever meet are a part of Special Olympics. Being a part of things that have that tie into them, where it's not just an event, you know, it's something that is also bringing awareness to something. As a young person, has that kind of, like, you see these things your whole life, but you're being a part of them now. Do you understand a little bit more of how the sausage is made, a little bit more of the behind the scenes stuff and that?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, I never got to actually be a part. I was usually just watching from the side. Yeah. So being a part of this has just been so amazing, and getting to actually be the person to help my community is such an amazing opportunity for me.
Has it given you a little more perspective, maybe a little more of the nuts and bolts and what it takes to make these events happen and such?
Yeah, so I always just kind of thought, like, you know, it gets set up, it's pretty easy. Yeah. It's really not, you know. It takes a lot of people to have these kind of events, and being a part of the process is really amazing.
I found myself in the same boat, and I am much older than you. And it took me a lot longer in life to realize, wow, these events, they take I thought they took a lot of people. I didn't realize how many volunteers and how many different people are a part of them. It gives you nice perspective and a new appreciation of your community, even if you've already appreciated it. Mm-hmm. So in the dropping the puck at the River Kings, now the River Kings just won a playoff series this weekend. I don't think it's a coincidence that you dropped the puck this season and our team has been doing well. I think we might have to keep doing that from now on. We might Wisconsin Rapids team drop a puck every season at least. Especially as a hockey, coming from a hockey family, I'll tell you, we're superstitious. So we definitely should probably keep doing that. That would have been fun, though.
Yes, it was amazing.
Have you ever gotten to do anything like that before at a sporting event or anything?
No, that was my first one that I really got to, like, kind of be right out there. So I got to go out on the ice, and my miss got to do it as well, Miss Wisconsin cool. Rapids. And it was really fun, and a lot of the people, like the little girls, were there. I got to get a picture with a few of them. They're all just super sweet.
The answering the phones for the Children's Miracle Network, first off, good on you for doing that. That's not the easiest thing necessarily to always do. I think a lot of people that haven't done that kind of work might assume that it is. You're just answering phones or whatever, but it's not not the easiest in a situation, and it's also really giving of your time. Again, coming back to the perspective question, though, something like that, I'm sure that as a kid you saw, you know, Children's Miracle Network or telethons before, giving you a little bit more of the inside and a little more perspective, though, being able to do it, I imagine.
Yeah, and when I got there, I was not expecting there to be so many steps in the process of, like, just getting one person to donate. Like, when they say yes, you've got to do this whole check-down menu, but it was so worth it. I love volunteer work, and it was such an amazing event.
You're also here to promote your service initiative, and I'd like to take some time and talk about that.
Yeah, so my social impact initiative is Silence is Not Golden, Early Language Matters, and basically it's just promoting early literacy for young babies and up to, like, being toddlers, 5 years old, 3 to 5. And I love my initiative because my mom is a speech and language therapist, and that's kind of where I got my love for speaking from.
Oh,
so spreading that to people who don't have those kind of connections to people.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to help them get those communication skills that are kind of vital for future jobs.
I think it's one of those gray areas that we don't get enough attention to often enough.
Yeah.
I think that if you said to the masses, you know, everybody should be able to read. Well, we'd all agree with that. Everybody agrees with that. But I don't think a lot of attention is brought to the fact that not everybody can read or read well or that. And then it comes to the language part of that, which they're hand in hand. So it's a nice subject to be able to focus on and bring some attention to that doesn't always get the attention it deserves. It's very cool, the connection you have there and the appreciation appreciation you have of that connection. That's cool to hear from a young person, especially. And I'll tell you, as somebody, I bounced around from school so much as a kid, I didn't learn to read very well. And I come from a very reading-loving family, so I always felt like I stood out and I didn't fit in with my mom and all these things. And I had a speech impediment when I first moved here to Wisconsin. I was fortunate enough to have a nice teacher who helped me out so much with it and everything, that where my S's and Z's, I say them now, and I talk for a living. Like, that's what I'm doing now. The guy with the speech impediment when he first moved to the state is now a program director here at this radio station. Like, that doesn't happen without those speech trainers, without those people helping me with that and everything at a young age. So bring attention to these things. You just never know where they can lead people, help people. Pretty certain I'm not a Screen Actor Guild member without that teacher, without that help of my speech. And everybody deserves, just like I was saying with reading, everybody deserves to be able to feel confident about their speech and those things.
Yeah, so actually, I have a statistic for you. Are you ready?
I was waiting. I was hoping.
All right, so did you know that 86 to 98% of the words that kids from when they're born to the age of 3 pick up are derived from their parents? So basically, that means that families who have parents that don't really connect with their kids as much, their child is going to grow up with less communication skills than ones that interact with their child more, which is why I'm so passionate about my initiative.
Right on. Yeah. Great stat. That's wonderful. That also explains a lot of where I talk like my dad a lot in the broken English. And Jimmy, you're going to do this. I end up talking like that. That explains a lot of that for me. Is there anything else about this initiative of this cause that you think maybe isn't commonly known, that you think the audience would be good for them to know about it?
Yeah, so there's actually, I'm sure some of you have heard of it, but it's called the 30 million word gap study. And basically, researchers had two groups of families, one with slightly higher incomes and one with slightly lower incomes, and they compared to see over the course of a baby's life until the age of 3, and they compared which infant heard more words in that lifespan time, or in that span of time. Mm-hmm. And it came that the kids from the families with less income heard 30 million less words than the ones who are in higher income families.
Wow.
And the amazing thing about my initiative is that talking is free. You don't have to pay for a program or something fancy to talk to your kids. And that's the amazing thing about it. You can talk to them whenever you want. It doesn't cost you a dime.
Oh, that's so good. That is great. And people love free. People love free. So that's really going to catch some eyes there, too. But that's such a cool part of this. Usually we're talking about a cause, and then that comes the part where we have to ask for your dollars and cents or something like that. Something like this, you're so right about that. It's very similar to encouragement and support. Cost nothing can mean everything. Mm-hmm. You've partnered with some organizations as part of this, too, correct?
Yeah, so I actually just partnered with Babies and Beyond, which is like a business that supports pregnant women and families. And I made a tip sheet for them to put in their welcome packages. So it basically just gives some ideas of what parents can do to interact with their child, such as singing to them or reading to them or narrating what you're doing during your day, just anything to do with getting them involved in your daily routines.
How did that happen? How did you end up starting to work with them?
So actually, she happened to be one of my judges at my pageant. So after she heard about my initiative, she wanted to work with me on something because she thought that would be a really cool partnership. And I was like, yes, absolutely. That sounds awesome. And so now it's posted all over social media. You can find it on the Babies and Beyond Instagram page or on the Miss Wisconsin Rapids Outstanding Teen Facebook. Sorry. And so now it's really cool to see that parents have access to that and are able to have new strategies on how to interact with their kids.
Do you feel like in the time that you've been doing this, Miss Wisconsin Rapids Teen, that you've been able to bring a lot of attention to this, more attention than has been brought to it before?
I would say so, definitely. Yeah. And as the year goes on, I plan to do so much more with it. And I actually plan on starting a play group where parents can bring in their kids, and I would do different arts and crafts with them. They would get to interact with the other children there. I would read with them. We could do Disney sing-alongs.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of fun things for them to do so that they just kind of get that experience, not only to interact with each other, but to interact with me, an older person, which they won't usually get the experience with until they grow up. So I think it's a really cool idea.
To donate books, where will we send them if people want to donate books?
So they're all going to be donated to our local United Way, but you can donate them by emailing the Miss Wisconsin Rapids Outstanding Teen Instagram and getting more info on it.
Hmm. And I see teen@misswisconsinrapids.org is the email?
Yes.
Okay. teen@misswisconsinrapids.org. Encourage you to donate those books if you can. I want to talk with you, Ruby, a little bit about you competing in Miss Wisconsin's Teen in June. To kind of lead into that a little bit, you know, you're young, but even at your age, you've had influences. You've had people you looked up to. And now being Miss Wisconsin Rapids Teen, you've become one of those people that people look up to. How have you adapted to that? How has that changed a lot of the way that you approach your day-to-day life or any of these things, or approaching how you've been wearing the crown? Has that affected, or do you find yourself kind of doing your own thing still?
I would say that it's affected me a little bit, yeah. Mm. I like to dress more professionally now, because with all my events, you have to look and feel professional, so you want to be dressed for that, and that's really impacted me a lot. And also just going around in the community and knowing that you're the role model, it really makes you, it's made me feel more mature and way older than I actually am, so that's a really great things for me.
Yeah, we never want kids to grow up any faster than they have to or anything, but some of that perspective is stuff that'll take you through life.
Yes.
And that never gets old. That never fades. That's really cool to hear. I think that too, there's a difference of when you're looking up to people and then you become that person that is looked up to, and how you approach that, how you handle that. And I admire that you've taken that. You see that as it is. This is something to appreciate. This is something to have some perspective about and learn from and everything. I admire that. That's very cool. So as far as the competition for June, you working out every day, pumping iron? Like, what do you do? I don't know anything about pageants. I'm sorry. How do you trade for this? No, I'm just kidding.
No problem. So me and my friend go to the gym almost every day. And that's just, I don't do it for the pageant. I do it for me. And her and I, we both started like last summer. And we were just like, you know what? We should start going to the gym. And we're like, okay. So we did. And we just like fell in love right away. So now we go all the time, and I don't think I'll ever stop.
That's cool. That's good to hear. It's never a bad thing to want to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that never goes out of fashion. And I did want to touch on I think it's noteworthy what you said about your appearance, about the way you dress. That's not a bad thing. And I don't begrudge anybody dressing however they do. But I do think that there's something to be said for that as you get older and realizing at a young age that how I present myself is important. And trust me, Ruby, the younger you learn that, the better, because I still dress like a teenager. And I should not dress the way I do. I should have learned that a long time ago. I'm glad you learned that lesson earlier in life. With the competition, you'll be competing. Are there things that are kind of interested by? Are there going to be private interviews? How does that work?
Yeah, so it's going to start with a private interview for each person.
Hmm.
And then in the actual competition, right after opening number, we are going to have onstage question. So it'll be a question related to our initiative, and we're going to have to respond. And then the next one is lifestyle and fitness, which one of my personal favorites.
Yeah, okay.
And then that along with talent is another one of my favorites. And then it'll end with evening gown.
Excellent. For the talent, what will you be doing, or have you decided yet?
Yeah, so I'm going to be doing a hip-hop dance to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air again. I'm changing up a little bit of the choreography just to, like, up my difficulty level, but I'm really excited.
As a former break dancer, that warms my heart, Ruby. That's awesome. That's fantastic. That'll be a lot of fun, too. Have you already got your routine down? You still working on it, or...?
Yeah, so I'm still working on a few of the moves that I'm going to be adding in and incorporating. But right now, I think I have it down pretty well. But now it's just really getting those details in and making sure it's as sharp as it can be.
What keeps you coming back to doing the pageant, to continuing to compete?
I would say the friendships that I've made, because you get to meet so many new people through this organization. Just competing in our local, I have 5 new teen best friends and 3 new miss best friends. Like, my miss is such an amazing person, and I look up to her so much. And the amount of memories we've made, and I cannot wait to make so many more with her, because she's such an amazing person.
Miss Wisconsin 2022, Grace Stanky, recently crowned Miss America 2023. Have you been able to talk to her? Is she who you're referring to there, or a little bit, or one of the people you're referring to?
Oh, so I was actually referring to Miss Wisconsin Rapids.
I thought so.
I'm sorry, okay. I forgot to add that.
I think the audience knew. I just had to be clear. The guy sitting right across from you couldn't tell. Yeah, that's interesting though. That's cool to hear. What is something that you are looking forward to about the competition that you haven't really gotten to touch on already? You mentioned the talent, you're looking forward to that part of it. Is there any part you're looking forward to, any part that you're a little more nervous about than other parts?
Yeah, I would say I'm definitely a little bit nervous about interview, but I plan to do a lot of hammering down on interviews. So when I get there, I don't have to worry about being nervous. I can just go in and give it my all and know I did good.
When it comes to kids out there listening, kids that come up to you and talk to you about being Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen and such, and maybe they're thinking about doing this, but they're scared, they're nervous or something like that. Is there any advice, any things you would tell them?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I have a friend who's a little hesitant to compete, so I've been talking to her a lot. And I would just tell them go for it because, I mean, you earn scholarships no matter what. First of all, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you get to meet so many new people and learn so many vital skills for your future. I mean, I never thought I would be able to interview. My first mock interview did not go very well, guys. I'm just going to let you know that. So seeing myself and everyone else around me grow is such an amazing experience. And I know if you do it, you're going to love it in the end.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that the everything you just shared there, and especially the vulnerability. I admire that. It's also something noteworthy, I think, too, because people listening to you right now wouldn't think that, wouldn't assume that. I wouldn't have even think that you had a rough time at all, ever. Like, if you were 10 doing this, it seems like this kid's been knocking it out the park since then. But it's encouraging for those out there listening and kids out there listening especially that, well, if she can do it, I bet I can do it, too. And that's the case for things like this. I teach improv and acting and stuff, and I at least once a semester, if not once a couple semesters, I have a student ask me, Mr. Maloff, when do I stop being nervous? And I look at him and I tell every one of them, like, I'm nervous right now. Like, it's not a bad thing to be nervous. Nervous means you're engaged. It means you care. If you're nervous about something, it means that it means something to you. So you can harness that and turn it into energy, turn it into a good performance or a good interview or what have you.
Yeah, and I mean, the only way that you are going to grow is if you go over your obstacles and you really challenge yourself, because you're just going to stay in the same place if you never try.
Yeah, very well said. I wish I could just stop the interview right there. That was great. I did want to give you a chance, though, to talk about some of the recruiting that we're doing for more contestants for the next pageant.
Yeah, so surprise, everyone. Recruiting has already started it. So you can go to MissWisconsinRapids.org to get more info and to register yourself to compete. The competition is going to be on October 28th, 2023, and we hope to see a lot of new competitors there.
Are there requirements to this? Say a 46-year-old radio announcer, probably couldn't try.
I think you could cover yourself.
Maybe. Is there any certain things like you have to be a Rapids resident, things like that, that people should know as far as if they want to compete in this?
Yeah, so you have to live in the Rapids or Rapids area for, I believe it is 30 days or so before the pageant, so that you are in Rapids that whole time and know that you're going to represent your community since it is a closed pageant.
Anything else that you want to touch on before we let you go?
I don't think so. I think we hit it all.
Yeah, all right. All right. Well, nice work, Ruby. This was a lot of fun. You are very impressive. You are going to go on to have a lot of fun with these pageants and go on to do some amazing things. I really do appreciate the time and appreciate everything you've been doing for the community.
Actually, I forgot. Can I add something in really
Please,
quick?
Please, yeah.
All right. So we have our book fair coming up. Or not our book fair, I'm sorry, our book drive coming up in the next few weeks. So make sure to check out all of our social medias to get more info as it comes up.
Yeah, glad you got that in. And again, to donate books, if you are interested in doing that, teen@MissWisconsinRapids.org. It's teen@MissWisconsinRapids.org. And if you want to find out more information about everything we've been talking about, MissWisconsinRapids.org, MissWisconsinRapids.org. Thanks again for the time, Ruby. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and have some more Morning Magazine for you here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
What's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 40. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows level off around 25. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 39. 3 to 5 inches of snow Thursday night.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently it's 33.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this March 7th, 2023, 10:32 on the clock, and you have your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined right now by some of our friends from the Southwood County YMCA. We have in with us Aaron Hess, Associate Center Executive. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
And you brought a friend with you. Sarah Wheeler is here. Sarah is the Community Health Worker. Good to meet you here, Sarah.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate the time, you two. I know we had a number of different things we were going to talk about, Aaron. Where would you like to start? Do you want to start with the diabetes classes? Do you want to start there?
We could start. We can start with diabetes.
Let's dive into that and talk about that. Because actually, it's weird to say excited to talk about diabetes. But I was actually encouraged by this because this is I don't know if it's a newer class, but it's something that's different, it seems.
And
covering diabetes differently and the approach to it. So let's get into what these classes are.
Yeah. So the nice thing with this class, so Tiana Hamm is leading it, and she's our registered dietitian. And we're talking about diabetes in the sense where we want to help inform people on how to avoid it, how to prevent it, and and as well as how to live a fantastic life with it. So whether or not you're diabetic, pre-diabetic, or not even pre-diabetic, there are just certain things that you do that are all the same to improve your life.
Yeah.
So she'll be able to talk through even like recipes. So if you have someone who's pre-diabetic, diabetic, you name it, talking through how do you live a fantastic life where you're still cooking in a way that is enjoyable. And, you know, you're not having to avoid certain social events or this or that because of diabetes. So it's not a sentence that that makes you have to live a less enjoyable life.
I didn't know much about diabetes until about 10 years ago. And so I met a friend of mine and Liz, and she really opened this world to me and understanding how much of the world can be blocked off from people with diabetes. But this was about, actually, I'm really dating myself. It wasn't 10, it was about 15 years ago and stuff. And how much that this has changed since in that time. Not only with the ways people are able to take care of their diabetes with the machines and different things that are, the prick doesn't seem as bad anymore. And I shouldn't say that I don't have it done, but from what I hear, it seems like it's a lot better. And so much of the awareness of this subject. It seems like we're getting better at diagnosing it early and helping people through the early days of it and through the long run of it too. People that have been dealing with it maybe since they were a kid and they've always eaten this, this, and this, and now they're realizing, oh, well, we have all these other things opening up for us.
Oh yeah. And then you think about, you know, how you work with diabetics, where back in the day it was usually, you know, you test your blood sugar, if it's too high you do this, if it's too low you do that, so on and so forth. And now they're looking at, okay, exercise is huge when it comes to diabetes. So they're recognizing, okay, if you're going to have more success getting up and moving more, then let's focus on that. You know, we should eventually start, you know, working on the food part. We get that. But if you're going to be successful getting up, moving, doing things that you really enjoy doing, let's focus in on that. Make sure that you feel successful with that. And then we start looking at maybe, okay, this is how we tweak the diet a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
When are these classes going to be taking place?
Yeah, so they actually start March 15th, so people can still register. We have a Wednesday morning a Wednesday evening and a Friday morning available. But if they go to our website, it's right there, swcymca.org, and all the information is on that website. You can register online. You can give us a call to register. Members, non-members can join in on this, and yeah.
If there's other information people want to find out about it, can we just send them to the website, be able to find it there?
Yep, you can go to the website, and then, again, and if they have more questions, Renee Kinney is our healthy living director, so they can always have that conversation with her too. She can kind of dive right into that. So,
you guys have a new CEO over there. We're hoping to have in the building sometime.
He better
soon.
Show up.
Looking forward. We got to put him on the spot. I mean, get to meet him, get to know him, and everything. Yeah. We're looking forward to this. How has that been over there? I know that we know a little something about changeover. We've been through quite a bit of that in the last couple of years. It's nice when the dust settles and you kind of have somebody in place. And that is that. Has that kind of felt good? Or in the building and stuff?
Yeah, things have been trucking along pretty well. You know, Brian Bailey, he came back from WASA to be our interim CEO, and of course I go way back with Brian because he was my first CEO.
Oh, cool.
So that was kind of a reunion. No.
But
things have been going well. It'll be nice to have Matt Lund. He'll be starting March 20th, and it'll be nice to have him on site, you know, the 5 days a week, and just being able to connect with all the directors and our members. And I know he has a bunch of different new ideas that we could bring to the Y, and just get some fresh ideas too.
Yeah. It's fun because we have such an interesting thing here in town where we have one Y that is in the Port Edwards area that's been around for quite some time and has a lot of great history to it. I know I have some great history over at that Y and such. And then, like, in town here, we have this incredibly awesome, amazing, newer facility and stuff that's just, you know, waiting for memories to be made in and everything from all of our people out there. And encourage you to go to the Y if you haven't been there in a while or been there at all. Check that out.
Yep.
So if I'm any of you guys, or I'm the CEO and I'm walking into this scenario, I couldn't ask for a better scenario as far as being a part of the why and everything. Mm-hmm. That's exciting in itself. And then the new blood part, I appreciate that, because I think that there's something to be said for that. It's not anything against previous CEOs or anything that. Credit to all the people that came before, and big fans of a lot of the people. They've all joined us on the air here and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But new people means just a new different perspective and a new set of eyes, new ideas, and that never hurts, let alone a business or a nonprofit, especially a community.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, you look at the amount of work that Brett Salscheider did, just laying the groundwork for the new facility, getting that up and running, and, you know, and we continue to grow in membership. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. The usage that we get is just mind blowing. So we are extremely blessed with the position that we're in right now. One thing that we're looking to do for those that have seen our second floor is actually working with Matrix to kind of redesign some stuff where, you know, looking at what strength equipment that we need to add in. So being able to be in a position where we can do that significant capital addition on that second floor. I mean, if you would have asked me this 5 years ago, I would be like, yeah, no, we're nonprofit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But
how cool is
but
that?
No, because of how supportive this community has been, man. I mean, we've just been able to offer so much. So so Matt's walking into a great place.
Yeah. You got a great scenario he's walking into. That's really cool, and we're excited to meet him and put him on the spot. I mean, have him in. No, we're looking forward to having him. We're looking forward to talking to him. Yeah. We're looking forward to that. We are speaking with Aaron and Sarah from the Southwood County YMCA. We're going to take a really quick commercial break, then come back, and we're going to talk about the community health fair. Also, want to talk about Nutrition 101 and the personal trainer your way. We've got some more to talk about coming up here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hello?
Man, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? Whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf. Man, I'll call you back.
Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to drive traffic to your website.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with a high of 40. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, lows level off around 25. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, highs level off around 39. 3 to 5 inches of snow Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates. Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine for this March 7th, 2023. We're hanging out with our friends from the Southwood County YMCA. We have Sarah and Aaron with us, and Sarah is joining us for the first time. Sarah is a community health worker. And Sarah, if you don't mind me putting you on the spot and asking you very hardball questions, like telling us a little about yourself and a little bit about the position and what actually is a community health worker.
Sure. Well, I'm a community health worker. Not a lot of people know exactly what that entails, but I'm actually employed by GWAR, the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources. And the Y received a grant, if I'm speaking rightly, the 2109 grant. And the grant funds my position, and I'm able to be a part of the Y community, and my job is to really dive into the needs of this community and provide resources to people, be that link in the community, the bridge for resources that people might need. Mm-hmm. So be a trusted person if you want. I do a lot of talking with people, a lot of conversations, and get to know them first and foremost and build that trust with them. And then they feel comfortable reaching out to me if they need something. I am trained in quite a few things, care transition intervention coaching, and I'm working with some local organizations and hospitals to provide this coaching, get referrals for patients that might need this. It's a 30-day evidence-based program, and in essence, what it does is its first visit is a hospital visit with the patient, and then if they want this service, then I come into their home and we do like a medication review. We talk about any red flags, why typically the people that get this coaching have been hospitalized multiple times, and so then it's kind of a red flag for those caseworkers or people in the hospital to say, you know, maybe they need a little bit extra guidance from someone. And so then that's when they would refer them to me. And we'd go over kind of red flags of why they're getting hospitalized and then set up some goals for them. And more often than not, if people are taking four or more medications and they're rehospitalized, maybe there's a discrepancy there that I can help them with. And it's all about empowering that patient to take full control and full power of their health and wellness. So that's a really great program that I'm trained in. I'm also a part of this also evidence-based program called Healthy Ideas, and it stands for Identifying Depression-Empowering Activities for Seniors, and it's the first evidence-based program for seniors that revolves around mental health.
Yeah.
And it's the first, we're the very first cohort to be trained in this in the entire state, so I'm going to be trying to start getting out there with this and offering this. It's a one-on-one with someone. It's something I can offer for Y members or anyone in the community. And so I'm excited about that program. Mental health right now is a huge problem. Everybody has their own mental health issues or stories or things that they've gone through. I also do other programs at the Y. I'm going to be starting a Stepping On program in March, which is a falls prevention program. And in case anyone didn't know, fun fact, Wisconsin leads the nation in falls, which is not something that we should be proud of, but definitely something that can be fixed and worked on. I'm going to be working with Jen Clark from the ADRC. We're going to both be facilitating this program March 24th through May 5th. And that's a really great program to help prevent and reduce falls. What else do I do, Aaron?
Jeez. Man, you already impressed the daylights out of me. We're going to keep adding to that?
There's probably more, but...
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's like you said before, it's being that connector.
Yeah.
So, and the nice thing, what we love about having this, you know, option at the Y now is having that person who can really focus on connecting our members to community resources and whatnot. Because, you know, I'll be honest, you know, we have a good number of directors that have good intentions of directing people and whatnot, but sometimes you're spread so thin that you're not able to really focus in and see, oh, hey, this is a great resource. We need to tell people about it.
Yes.
So having someone who can really, you know, really focus in on that has been huge.
Right.
Yeah.
There's, with most things in life, especially when we have a gray area in fields like this, there's overlapping that can happen, whether it's a medication or a diagnosis or something like that. Right. And then comes the understanding of what that means with the medication or the diagnosis. And just having somebody to be able to go to be like, hey, I don't understand what this is, or I don't know what to do here or something. Right. Having that middle person there, so vital in this. And it's so cool to think that this is something that I don't think, it's one of those things where you hear it and you're like, oh, that should have been a thing always. Like, we should have always had this.
Right.
But now that you hear it, you're like, oh, thank God we do have it. Right. And I'm glad you touched on a couple of things there, especially, Sarah, I don't like to say this and for anybody to take it badly or anything, but I genuinely believe that everybody has some type of mental health disorder, some type of, whether it's a heavy thing or a light thing, some more serious than others, certainly, but everybody's got something. About 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with minor dyslexia. And I've always struggled with reading and some of these things, but I never thought too much about it. I moved around a lot, was in a lot of different classes, and just chalked it up to just not being a great learner. And it turns out that, you know, I've been dealing with this my whole life, and I just was never diagnosed with it. And it got me thinking about, with all the different things like hyperattention disorder or anything under the Asperger's spectrum, a lot of this stuff, like, it's not as if that just was created, that just happened. Like, that's always been a thing. So how many of our seniors, how many of our people older, you know, could have been diagnosed with something or should have been diagnosed with something that they just didn't have the testing for back then or just didn't know any better?
There was no awareness.
Right. So that's a whole group of our society that is in need. And here is somebody like Sarah, you know, organization, the groups like this that are being able to help with that. I love the idea that we are not a society that is like, sorry we didn't get to that earlier. Good luck. Good luck, everybody. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's pretty cool that we have these positions that we're doing this. And it's also really cool on the people out there, the seniors, the people out there, not just seniors, but anybody of any age, to seek that help. I think that's one of the bravest things you can do as a human being is face yourself and face these things that, hey, I've been struggling with reading my whole life. Why am I struggling with this? I'm gonna take a dyslexia test. I don't want to. I'm very uncomfortable with this. I don't know how this is gonna affect me as an actor or my radio career, but I'm gonna do it. And I've gotten so much smarter from this. And I don't. There's a lot of people out there that didn't think I could get smart, but I actually have gained a little bit from this. I can't encourage people enough to do that. Hopefully, you know, you do this, you do some testing, or you look into this, and you find out, oh, I'm okay, I'm fine. You know, and that's great. That's what we're hoping. But if you do have something, people like Sarah, that's their job. They're here to help you with that stuff. You don't have to live your life in darkness or in you know, with some of this uncertainty. You can have some answers, some clarity.
Absolutely. And I think it helps break down that stigma too. You know, there's still stigma around mental health. And I feel like the more of us that are just authentic with where we're at, it makes others feel more comfortable to acknowledge where they're at. There's nothing, you're not saying that you're a failure or that you're screwed up or anything like that. It's, this is a place in life I'm at right now, and I wanna take some proactive steps to keep moving forward and make it better.
Well, and I think COVID had brought that to light a lot, the mental health needs of everyone. And it's, when you shine a light on it, then everybody feels more comfortable. It's so relatable. And so I think that's helped.
When you clear away some of the dirt and grime and everything, you just get the subject and like, oh, this isn't nearly as scary or weird or taboo as I thought it was. It's actually just something that we all deal with. I think that's the case for a lot of things. And it's part of the reason why not only do we appreciate anybody having this discussion, but you guys at the Y and the position that you're in there, Sarah, and people taking this initiative of mental health and championing this and being like, we're not going to talk about this in a hushed voice anymore. We're going to talk about it so everybody can hear us, so hopefully we can reach everybody and everybody can get help.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember was one gal, she kind of, because you know how when we walk by someone in the hallway or whatnot, we're like, hey, how you doing? We're not really looking for an answer.
Yeah.
Good, I'm good.
You're good.
Yeah. Midwest nice way of acknowledging your existence.
Exactly.
But I don't want a conversation.
And I remember this gal, she was in a conference talking and whatnot. She's like, I challenge you guys, next time you go up to someone, ask them, how are you doing really? And then you stop and you wait for that answer. It's like, oh my gosh, that's huge, because you're really telling that person, okay, let's cut the crap.
Yeah.
You know, let's just be real with each other.
I actually care for the answer.
I feel like we're in a place where people are more receptive of that. And like you said, COVID kind of shined that light on it. And
As in, just one other last note about this, and I've meant to bring this up a number of times when it comes to the subject of mental health. I don't think it's too shocking to see younger generations and younger people, you know, being behind this and supporting this and everything. What I've been blown away by is how many seniors and older people are supportive of this topic and treating this topic like, you know, I think a lot of us would make assumptions about, oh, you're feeling bad? Just rub some dirt on it, walk it off. Like, you know, like,
right.
They're getting it. They understand. No, because they've been through it longer than we have. You know, they, for every person that, like, I'm in my mid-40s here, they've been doing this since they, you know, 20 more years than that.
Sure.
So I think that there's a lot of kind of, I don't want to say exhaustion, but kind of like, well, where have you been, society? We've been dealing with this for a long time. Where have you guys been? Like, it's pretty cool to see that that group of society supporting this as well. I give them a lot of credit for that, because you don't always see that. We don't give enough credit to our senior and our vets and our mm-hmm. older generation nearly enough. They're doing a nice job with this subject too, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I think it's come a long way. I think generationally you're going to have some pushback on it, but I think that the further we're getting from COVID, the more people are like, yeah, you know what, these are actually relatable yeah. issues, or I actually have been feeling down more often than I'd like to admit. And just opening that door of relatability, that we're all in the same boat here, and if we can shine some light on it, then maybe we can stop feeling as bad as we have been. So
I want to take some time to talk about the community health fair, but just real quick, and I don't think it's a real quick thing, but yeah, I don't want to skate past it. You brought up that Wisconsin leads the nation in falls.
Yeah.
You know, why is that? Do we have any answers of why that is, and what we can do to help that, to prevent that, you know, help people out there?
I don't have a good answer. I don't have, like, the statistics.
I couldn't find one either.
I mean, there's some generalities that you can conclude that
yeah.
it could be our weather. Mm-hmm. It could be
there's so many different things that lead to that, especially
yeah.
if you've been to in Wisconsin more than 5 minutes, you get it. You understand.
Right. Yeah. Right. But I would say that it's something that a lot of healthcare professionals, they do, it's on their radar, mm-hmm. and it's something that we as a community are trying to work positively towards reducing those falls. And so, you know, that's all you can do at this moment is try to work on it and reduce those falls.
It feels like one thing that I've noticed, and my father's been struggling with some hip issues, and my dad,
sure.
not only is he stubborn, but he's Italian, so he's double stubborn.
Oh boy.
And the guy will not listen to me about, hey man, you're not 30 anymore. You
right.
need me to let me help you with this or whatever.
Right.
What started to really register for him with that was just the repetitiveness of trying and not being able to do it, and trying
okay.
and finally just sinking in. And him kind of realizing, okay, I need, you know, not only do I need help, maybe I need physical therapy, these kind of things. If it takes that, it takes that. But whatever it takes to get you to that, we encourage you to be aware of your surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, hey, I'm 50-some years old. I've spent my whole life in Wisconsin. I know Wisconsin winters. I can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
You also understand that ice is unpredictable. You understand
yeah.
that environment is unpredictable. So just because you've been doing this your whole life, don't approach it that way. Maybe take your time with these things a little bit more. And maybe that will hopefully slow some of those numbers down a little bit too, because Wisconsinites got a lot of pride in things, but not this one, maybe not as much.
No,
you know,
no pride
exactly,
in this.
Oh,
no,
we want to bring those numbers down.
Yeah, and I think when I was doing the training for this class, we were encouraged to share individually as participants false stories. And so we each went around and shared. And it was kind of crazy that the more you heard other people's stories, even myself, I was like, I actually have fallen a couple times, and I'm not a senior, but yet I've fallen. And then now that's all I see are fall risks. I'm like, oh, even with my kids, I'm like, please be careful when
yeah.
you're going up the stairs. And
yeah.
But yeah, there, some of these things seem obvious, falls risks, but it is slowing down, and
yeah.
it is taking your time, and it
mm-hmm.
is trying to be prepared. If you're walking on ice, use, you know, those ice cleats on your shoes, or you know, ask for help.
Yeah.
It's hard,
yeah.
but ask for help. So yeah.
And, appreciate
you know,
that,
and this
Sarah.
May sound weird or maybe off, but I would encourage people to, like, I'm I'll be 49 soon, next week, and when we work with seniors or older adults or whatever, I have to pause and think to myself, okay, that I'm going to be there in the next few years. Yeah. What can I do right now to make sure that when I get to that point, I'm still, you know, moving around, getting around easily. Yeah. So
safely.
You know, so people, you know, sometimes it's good to learn from those that are older older than us and be able to really take that in. And you know, picture yourself a few decades down the road.
That's a great note, Erin.
Yeah, and the preventativeness of you know, trying to work out. I mean, we are from the Y, so, you know, getting your exercise in and eating healthy. I mean, all of those things are good things to help.
The Community Health Fair is coming up. That is going to be Thursday, March 9th from 4 to 7. It's going to be a fun event. So fun that our sister station, WIRI, is going to be having a two-hour remote from there from 4 to 6. Seth will be down there. It's going to be a lot of fun. He'll be there for the Hmong American with the Hmong American Center. Let's talk about the Community Health Fair a little bit. What this involves?
Right. So the Community Health Fair is hosted by H2N and R2N. They're the ones who have been coordinating it. And there's giveaways, there's activities. We have a couple other community organizations that will be there. WIC will be there. The health department. Who else will be there? The UMOS, they're also a community-based organization. There will be a one-time $600 payment from the USDA to farm workers and meat packers who worked during the COVID-19 pandemic and support our critical aspects of our nation's food systems. Mm-hmm. There'll be free Pfizer and Moderna vaccinations for 12 years and older. And